Hello and welcome to St. Paul's Terrey Hills. Today we begin a new mini sermon series for the school holiday period in Ephesians chapter 4 in the New Testament. And it's all about walking worthily of the calling that we have received. In chapter 4 verse 1 of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul, writing from a Roman prison, says to the Ephesian church and to us today, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received." And everything that follows on from that verse in chapters 4 to 6 unpacks what it looks like to live a life worthy of the name Christian. So as I begin, I'd like you to consider this question. If you were writing a letter to a Christian friend and you wanted to encourage them to live a life worthy of the name of Jesus, what would be the first thing that you would want to encourage them to do? Top of the list, number one priority. What would it be? Well, let's look at our passage to see what's at the top of the Apostle Paul's list. Here's our key verse, Ephesians 4, verse 3. "Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." Church unity is right at the top of his list. We all know that church unity is important. We know what a happy place church can be when we are united, and we also know how hard it can be when church is divided. We know the kind of damage that can be done. Like me, you may have had non-Christian family or friends highlight the divisions in the wider church, such as the various denominations, and use this as an excuse for not going to church or having any interest whatsoever in the things of God. So when it comes to walking worthily of the name of Christ, church unity is right up there. Let's look a little more closely to see why. In our verse, Paul says, "Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit." Keeping the unity implies that we are already united. This is really important because sometimes we can make the mistake of thinking that it's our job to create unity. We try to unite the church under a mission, or we try to create unity by organizing more fellowship time. But it's not our job to create unity. God has already done that. God has united us together by his Spirit. Each one of us, when we turn to Christ, God forgave us our sins and gave us the gift of his Holy Spirit to empower our new life, living for Jesus. Whatever our background, if we belong to Christ, we have his Spirit. And the Spirit not only unites us to God, he also unites us to one another. Verse 3 tells us that the Holy Spirit acts like superglue. You know how strong superglue is, especially when you get some of it stuck on your fingers. And before you know it, your fingers are stuck together, and it can be quite difficult and sometimes painful to pull them apart, to peel them apart. Well, the Holy Spirit, he is the bond of peace, our verse says. He unites us to God in a relationship that is now marked by peace. Before, we weren't at peace with God, but through Jesus, And with the gift of his Holy Spirit, we now enjoy peace in our relationship with God. And he unites us to one another in relationships that are marked by peace. Before, our diversity kept us apart. We would not have been in relationship with one another. And in some instances, we may have even been enemies with one another. In Ephesians, Paul has the division between Jew and Gentile, non-Jew. He has that in mind. The Jews and the Gentiles historically hated each other. And they certainly didn't associate with each other. And there are plenty of other divisions in life, aren't there? There's ethnic divisions, cultural divisions, religious divisions, the division between rich and poor, private school and public school, Ford and Holden, the Sea Eagles and the Brisbane Broncos, and so on. But the Spirit breaks down all of those barriers and glues us together in relationships of peace. The church is an amazing thing. It crosses ethnic and cultural and even previous religious divides. God brings together a diverse crowd and unites them together in peace. Listen to the strength of our unity in verses 4 to 6. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. The perfect seven. Seven times he says one in this statement. So it's pretty clear, isn't it? God unites us. We don't create unity because we have already been united in a profound way. What we do in church expresses that God-given unity. We don't create unity, we express the God-given unity. We express our unity as we meet together. This is one reason, one of the big reasons why I can't wait for us to reunite face to face on the 19th of July. We come together on Sundays as a diverse crowd, but we sit together as one to hear the word of our Lord together. We sing to our God together. We say amen together in our prayers. We relate to one another over morning tea, and we mix with people that we wouldn't otherwise mix with. Our brothers and sisters in Christ who may be very different to us. And our church relationships mean so much to us that we meet together at other times as well. We gather in small groups, Bible studies. We catch up for coffee. We eat meals together. All these things are beautiful expressions of our God-given unity. And thankfully, slowly, these things are returning as restrictions are lifted. Another important expression of our unity is the Lord's Supper meal. In the Lord's Supper, we remember with gratitude that it was our Lord's death that brought us peace with God. Sometimes we can think of the Lord's Supper meal as a me and God moment. It's all about me and my relationship with God, peace through Jesus Christ. And it is, that is true. But an important part of the meal is looking around to remember that the Lord died for not just for me, but for my Christian brothers and sisters, even those who are very different to me. Jesus' death has united us to one another as the body of Christ. We are one body. and I look forward to celebrating the Lord's Supper together once again soon. Although initially that might be difficult, or we may have to be creative in how we celebrate it together. So there are many ways in which we express our God-given unity. But when we come back to Ephesians, the Apostle Paul uses different language. He urges us to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. There are many good things that we can put our effort into as a church. We can work hard to make sure our Sundays run well. We can put plenty of effort into our various ministries that encourage one another and build each other up in our Christian walk. We can put effort into outreach. We can even work hard at things like our mission and vision statements. At the moment, the church leadership team is doing some hard thinking about our property, specifically how to maximize the use of the wonderful property we have been given in order to grow. Obviously, we've done quite a bit of work on the property during the lockdown period. These are all really good things to do. But we don't want to be doing all these good things to the neglect of making every effort to keep our God-given unity. Sadly, in the past, I've been involved in churches that have done just this. That is, churches that were very busy doing lots of ministry with a clear mission and vision, with a desire to take the gospel out to the local community, but within there were divisions, deep divisions. There were unresolved conflicts. And people talked about it with others rather than the person involved, and then groups formed supporting the various sides, and on it went. It spiraled out of control and made a real mess to the church and brought disrepute to the name of Jesus in the community. But thank God, that's the past. Here at St. Paul's, at Terry Hills, there are no such problems. Praise be to God. Here we enjoy unity and harmony in our relationships and peace. What a precious gift that is. And I guess the big message for us today is don't take that for granted. Give thanks to God for it and continue to make every effort to maintain the unity we have been blessed with. Because a united church brings glory to God, and it is a happy church to be a part of. And it is a church that is ready to welcome others. And it is a church that is ready to reach out in the name of Christ. So we make every effort. A few years ago now, you may even remember this story. A group of thieves broke into a safe deposit in the UK. And they cleared out 70 safe deposit boxes. They abseiled down lift shafts and used cutting equipment to get through thick doors of the underground vault. Obviously, people's most precious possessions were stolen. And can you imagine how upset they would have been? They had obviously deposited their items in the safe deposit to keep them safe and secure. But now they are lost. If we have something of value, something that is precious, we go out of our way to keep it safe and secure. Well, as we grasp the value of our church, the body of Christ, the temple of the Holy Spirit, we are motivated to make every effort to keep what we enjoy. And as we conclude, the Apostle Paul gives us four characteristics, four ways of relating that will help keep us united. They're in verse 2. He writes, "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Four things: humility, gentleness, patience, and forbearing love. These are characteristics that describe God. God wants us to become more and more like Him, more like the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, in the way that we relate to one another. And the wonderful thing is that He has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit, His Holy Spirit, who is doing that very work in us, transforming us to be like Christ, not just as individuals, but also together as a church. So let's be growing in humility, that characteristic that says, I will serve you. Doesn't matter what my position is. I may be a someone in my workplace. I may be the boss. I may be a someone in the church. I might have a special position, title, or leadership role. But humble service is not beneath me. That's the attitude. Humble service is not beneath me, and I'm not doing it for applause. Jesus Himself is the perfect model of these characteristics. Even though He is equal with God, He humbled Himself by becoming a man and obeyed His Father's will to the point of death, even death on a cross, the most shameful of deaths, says Philippians 2. Let's also be growing in gentleness, not being harsh with one another, or demanding, and patience. Patience is that characteristic we need when we are dealing with people who are different to us. We are diverse, with different backgrounds and different personalities. We have different ways of thinking and different ways of doing things. And sometimes we can get frustrated with one another. Our patience can be tested. But unity is maintained when we show patience towards one another, when we accept each other despite our differences, and don't allow our differences to drive a wedge in our relationships with one another. And lastly, we bear with one another in love. It's very similar to patience, isn't it? We put up with each other despite our differences. We bear with each other. More than that, we keep loving one another despite our differences. So, brothers and sisters, that's how we walk worthily of the name of Jesus here at church. There'll be more to be said about church and ministry and gifts next week, but this is a really important foundation that we want to get right before all else. So let me pray for us in this. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise You and thank You that You have united us together as Your people in this place. Help us to grasp the great value of Your church, that we are the body of Christ, the temple of Your Holy Spirit. By Your Spirit, please empower us to keep making every effort to maintain the unity You've given us. Please give us Christ-like humility, gentleness, patience, and forbearing love for one another, even when tested. And we pray this for our good and for Your glory. Amen.